Very good evening to one and all. Good evening. If you are here for the first time, do bear with me. My voice is very loud, so the AV team can just adjust the mic volume. As I get more and more excited, I get louder and louder. And so the children that is screaming and shouting, it's okay, because I have the mic. I'll be louder than them. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. I want to be the first one to congratulate the 33 candidates that's going to get baptized soon, right? Yeah. Not yet, but still to come. Right? You will only be baptized only after when you renounce and say that you believe in him, and then Reverend Peter Cook and Reverend Harley have the honor to dunk you, to baptize you. Yeah. Yeah. How I miss that, right? Number 33 has a special meaning to me because that's the only bus number that goes to my previous church. And in my previous church, Marine Parade Christian Center, that's where the Lord has called me. Yes, called me not with the buzzer, but called me to serve him full time. That was the year 2001. And so number 33 truly is a very, very special number to me. And also with that, I got to know my wife and my one and only girlfriend. She's not here with us. If you know her, you just tell her that I love her very much. I heard a story of a minister who was doing baptism, and a guy came to be baptized, and the minister asked him why he wanted to be baptized. And he says, "I'm looking for Jesus." And so the pastor holds him down and brings him up. And he says to him, "Did you find Jesus?" And he said, "Well, no." So he takes him down again, brings him back up, and he says, "Did you find Jesus?" Guess what's his answer? He said, "No." Takes him down a third time and brings him back up, and he said, "Did you find Jesus?" And the guy finally says, "Pastor, I don't think he's down there." What does baptism mean? What is the significance in the Christian faith? I hope in today's sermon we'll get some clear picture. First and foremost, first we've been immersed or placed into Jesus Christ. This is the first thing we should know about our position in Christ. Christians everywhere, that baptism picture shows us of death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. When a true believer is immersed, he is proclaiming to the world that he is being identified with Christ. By being placed under the water, he's proclaiming that he has died and been buried with Christ. By being raised up from the water, he is proclaiming that he has been raised from the dead with Christ to live a new life. We are immersed and placed into or identified with Christ's death. This is our position in Christ. Very simply, if we simply really die when Christ died, then we have died to sin. We are dead to sin and are freed from sin and its penalty and punishment. What happens is this: when we believe in Christ, then God takes our faith and counts it as the death of Christ. That is, God counts the person as having died in Christ. God takes the person's faith and counts the person as participating in Christ's death. God counts and considers the person to have died in Christ's death, to be placed into Christ's death, to be identified with Christ's death, to be partaker of Christ's death, to be in union with Christ's death, to be bound with Christ in his death. Now note this point. If we are counted by God as having been immersed into the death of Jesus Christ, then we have died in sin, have died to the penalty of sin, have died to the judgment of sin, are freed from sin, hallelujah, are freed from the penalty of sin, and are freed from the judgment of sin. This means that the rule and reign and the habits and desire of sins no longer have control over our lives. Sin ceases to have a place or position in our lives. We are free from sin. He who the Son sets free is... Oh, come on. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. Free from sin's habit. What are the habits that we have? If I were to play you my video, my life video, before I received Christ, you wouldn't recognize me. Yes, I have longer hair. I wear baggy pants and things like that. But you wouldn't know that I am who I am today because God has changed me. Every sentence was sprinkled with colorful words, if you know what I mean. We are free from sin habits. We are free from sin's control, sin's bondage, sin's enslavement, sin's rule and reign, sin's guilt. It means that we no longer live in sin, in the position and place of sin. But we cannot live without sin, not perfectly, right? But we are free from living in sin. We no longer practice and desire sin. Today, I'm not just speaking to the 33 candidates, I'm speaking to all of us who are baptized years ago, or months ago, or days ago. How is our spiritual walk with God? Do we desire and practice righteousness, seeking to please God in all that we do? It means that we are freed from the condemnation of sin, the terrible punishment that shall be measured out in that awful judgment day. This is our position in Christ. He is immersed, buried, placed into and identified with Christ in death. And having died, we never have to be under the rule and reign of sin and his judgment again. He is a partaker of Christ's death, bound and united to Christ in death. Therefore, he is dead to sin and all its effect. However, a true believer is a person who really believes. This simply means he repents, he confesses, obeys, and is baptized. It is the person who God credits as having died in Christ. This is the glorious position of a true believer. Secondly, we also identify with Christ in his resurrection. The same picture of baptism is used again. God counts us as having been raised in Christ. He counts and considers the person to be raised in Christ. What's the purpose? What's the purpose that we should walk in the newness of life? God's purpose for raising us up with Christ is dynamic and meaningful. It involves walking in a whole new life. The word walk means to walk about, to walk step by step, to control and order our behavior, to constantly and habitually walk in this newness of life, to practice this new life that we all have been given. In the Bible, the word new often carries the idea purity, righteousness, holiness, and godliness. We receive a new birth. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23 says, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. You receive a new heart. Ezekiel chapter 11 verse 19 says, and I will give them one heart and a spirit. I will put within them, I will remove the heart of stone from their flesh and give them a heart of flesh. You will become a new creation. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. He has become a new man. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24 says, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. God's very purpose for placing us in the resurrected life of Jesus Christ is that we might walk in Christ, walk soberly, righteously, godly in this present world. We put off old man of sin and put on the new man of righteousness and godliness. We live a pure, clean, and holy life. We will be raised just as Jesus was raised. As Jesus was raised to new life, so shall we be. As Jesus was raised to live with God, so shall we be. Secondly, our old man was crucified with Christ. This is the second thing we should know about our position in Christ. The Greek definitely uses the past tense. Our old man was crucified with Christ. It was once for all act that Christ himself effected. He took our old man to the cross with him and he died. The old man means our old life, our sinful life, our corrupted life, our deprived life, our ungenerated life, our sinful nature. Our old man means our old life without God. The old sinful life that is identified with Christ in death. The old man was crucified so that the body of sin might be destroyed. The body of sin is not plural, sins, but singular, sin. Sin is seen as a body, a whole package. The human body is seen as the seat of sin and as the instrument of sin. It is seen as containing and embodying and packaging all sin within itself. The idea is that all sin within us is destroyed, conquered, forgiven, and crucified with Christ. We are free from sin. We start anew and we stay clean and free from sin by walking in constant confession, fellowship before God. Let me tell you a secret, 33 candidates. After you are baptized, you are going to sin again. Everyone said, "Whoa." Yes. What makes it different is this, that we are aware that we have this sinful nature within us and we need to constantly say we are crucified in Christ. The sinful nature, the old man within us needs to be crucified again and again and again. That is why it's so beautiful whenever we come together as a family of God, we confess to Him and He freely forgives us. The grace of God is demonstrated through the forgiveness of God. The old man was crucified also to enable and to empower us to renounce sin. Later, you are going to do that, to renounce sin. The believer is not to serve sin. He is to renounce, know that it has been crucified and put to death in Christ. By the power of the cross, sin is not to be served. It is to be renounced. It is to be refused. It is to be rejected. It is to be denied It is to be conquered. As we pick up the pollution of this world and feel miserably, we can constantly come before God and ask forgiveness. And we ask, He forgives. This is the way we are freed from sin, by constantly walking in one open confession before God, praying all day long for His forgiveness. And He will forgive, and just as He promised in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. Don't ever stop asking God for forgiveness, but also don't ever forget that He forgives sins, that our days will be renewed. This is the glorious position of us being in Christ. The old man was crucified, already has been crucified. I'm here just as a messenger to inform you that He has already been crucified. So live that crucified life. But not only that crucified life, but live that resurrected life. The power of God that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. Amen. Third, we shall live with Christ both now and forever. This is the third thing we should know about our position in Christ. We know and possess absolute assurance and confidence that we shall live with Christ all the days of our life. The idea is that we shall live eternally with Him. Christ has conquered death once for all. Think about it. Christ has already died. Now we are to know that Christ, being raised from the dead, dies no more. That death has no more dominion over Him. That He is free from death. Christ now lives forever to God. We are to know that Christ died unto sin once and for all. That Christ now lives in the presence of God forever. That Christ lives unto God. That is, He lives in an unbroken devotion and service to God. We are alive to God. We were once dead before God because of our sin. And now, because we acknowledge God in a public place, in this arena of saints, and declare aloud, I pray you will say it aloud, declare it aloud, and say that I belong to God, we in our spirit begin alive. We are alive. We know that Christ is alive. And through all eternity, beginning right now from the moment of our conversion, death has no more dominion over us. Amen. We are placed into the resurrected life of Jesus Christ. We are an eternal person now, not just temporal. Therefore, we are to live to God beginning right now, even as we will live unto God through all eternity. We too shall be living on and on in an unbroken devotion and service to God forever. I don't know about your story. If today we got much more time, probably ask the 33 of you to come up front to give a testimony. Why would you want to be baptized? I recall over 33 years ago, I told my mother, in fact, before that, I just want to share with you, my mother allowed me to go to church because I was a rascal. I was very rebellious. I was not the icing on the cake. I was nowhere found to be on the cake. And so my cousin, who is the first Christian in the whole clan of the Wee clan, say, why don't I bring Kelvin to church? Then my mother say, bring him. Make sure that he does well and he become a good boy and things like that. So after 1 year or so, I receive Christ. You know, where do I receive Christ? I receive Christ in bus 854. For those of you who know what is bus 854, you will reveal your age, so I will not ask you to raise up your hands. My cousin asked me, would you want to receive Christ in the bumpy, non-aircon tips bus? You know, you need to unclip and then raise it up, you know. You know, some of you know. And I said, yes, I want to receive Christ. It was very hot, very, very crowded, you know. And my cousin said, what did you say? Do you want to receive Christ? And I said, yes, I want to receive Christ. And then for spiritual law, I received Christ. My life was never the same again. Changed. I'm still the same Calvin, but my perspective towards life at the age of 12 to 13 years old began to change, and changed so drastically. My circle of friends began to say that I'm weird, I am indifferent, and you are not the same Calvin anymore. And so they rejected me. But I feel happy when they reject me. And so I found new friends. Slowly, you know, people in the church embraced me and began to teach me the ways of the Lord. And what happened is one of the leaders said, do you want to get baptized? I said, yes, I want to get baptized. So I told my mother. I remember my mother was washing dishes in the kitchen. Then I said, Mother, I want to get baptized. She got shocked. She stopped everything, which she hardly do that. And she said that, it's okay. Just go to church. Don't get too serious about God. She said, I want to get baptized. I said, why you want to get? She said, why you want to get baptized? I think I found God. I found His love and things like that. I said, you sure? Let me talk to your father. I said, maybe don't talk to my father yet. You know, wait for, because fear of him, you know, being a Chinese. Yeah. So after a few days, this urge would it be, keep telling me, you know, come to me. You know, the Lord just wooing me to Himself. And I said yes. And I told my mother, I said, cannot tahan really. Wei tahan liao. You know, the urge is so great. You know, I say, I need to get baptized. You sure about it? I say, I'm sure. You know, then my mother said yes. You know, and I got baptized. You know, where did I get baptized? I got baptized in the beach, East Coast Beach, you know. And I remember the church elder and the pastor was holding me. I felt the presence of God because I was doing this. But it's actually the wave. But frankly speaking, I really felt the Lord. I felt the peace of God. And as I say, yes, I do. We sing and we shouted and we declare and we just, you know. And my life continued to change. And now my life continued to change. Change and change and change. And today, me being here speaking to you is unthinkable. It's unthinkable because I'm from the Hokkien Ping, you know. I'm the Hokkien type, you know. My English is broken. And the Lord says that I can use the donkey, I can use you. Hee haw, yeah. Yeah. So I say hee haw, yeah, that's right, yeah. So God can use me. God can use any one of us who's willing, who is open to what God wants to do in and through your life. And so me standing here, is the testimony of what Christ has done for me. So get ready, 33 of you, and the rest of you who have given your life to God, baptized and confirmed, be a big koko and cheche, treat these people nicely, okay? Okay? Oh, yeah. Hee haw, yeah. So I want to say this, that today is a very special day for you. It's a special day because it's not just because you have completed four lessons, wonderful lessons, It's not even because that you are a member of the cathedral and you can start getting married here or things like that. It's not about that. It's about you declaring the Almighty God in your life, that He died, He was buried, and He rose again. And that power, that life of Christ is now in your heart. Think about it. The God of Creator, God of the universe, God of the heaven and the earth is now in your heart. When you get baptized right in, pray a short prayer, not too long. If not, probably you'll be drowned. Pray a short prayer. Crucify, crucify my old self. And when you are raised up, say hallelujah. Praise the Lord. What God has done for me, the power of resurrection lives in me. And so, get ready. Get ready. Arise, men and women of God. Let's pray. Today, amongst us, we have friends and family members and also here for the very first time or second or third time. It's okay. We are here in the family of God. And in the family of God, all are welcome. The Lord welcomes each and every one of us. 2,000 years ago, Jesus died on the cross for each and every one of us. He knows. He knows that why we are here. We are in search. We are in search for meaning of life, the purpose of life. And today Jesus is here and Jesus is welcoming each and every one of us. And those of us who have yet to receive Christ know that He died for you on the cross. It's a shameful, painful death. He exposed Himself naked because of our sin. He carries it all. He carries your sin and my sin, and sin shames us. As an Asian culture, we understand what it means to be put in shame. And He carries that for us. And at the last breath, He says this powerful three word. He says, "It is finished. Done. I've carried the sin of the world." And He breathed His last breath, because the wages of sin is death. Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, died for each and every one of us and carries our sin, and the sin brings death even to Himself, Jesus Christ. And He was buried. But on the third day, He rose again. Today, we can't find any remains of Jesus Christ's body. We can't find anything of Jesus Christ in the tomb because He is risen. And that goes to show that He has conquered sin and death, and that we may have life and life abundant. Today, you are here. You feel life is miserable, life is purposeless, life is meaningless. At one point, you feel like ending your life. Jesus is here to say, "I carry all those. I carry all those things upon me, and I die, and I'm risen. I'm alive now. Won't you give me your life? Give me whatever that is lifeless within you. Give it to me and exchange it for my life." 33 years ago, He said that to me in the bus. I gave my life to Him. and I've never been the same again. Today you can experience this life. If that is you, won't you just quickly put up your hand and put it down? I just want to acknowledge you. Just want to pray with you. Any one of you here who want to give your life to God this very evening. Hallelujah. Lord, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Bless you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, I just want to thank you for your word that brings life, Lord. Ask that, Lord, you will bless us this very day, Father, as the 33 candidates give their life to you, that, Lord, you will bring transformation. You will bring about, Father, such a work within their life so that, Father, may your name, Lord, be glorified and be magnified, Lord. So, Lord, we thank you for all that you are doing and for all that you're going to do in and through this day. Evermore. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.